You've been listening to Mentoring Matters. Mentoring in today's business world with hosts Rainey Petrin and Dave Carson. If you have a question for Rainey, Dave, or their guests, please call us now at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now, back to Mentoring Matters.
Welcome back, everybody, to Mentoring Matters. I'm Rainey Petrin, president and founder of Manager Mentors, along with my colleague Dave. And we have our, as our guest, special guest today, we have Amy Fardella, Senior Vice President of Human Resources for MobX Corporation. All right, well, we left the last segment, we were talking about some of the common challenges that some mentoring program managers might face when they are managing a mentoring program. And I'd like to address the what I think is probably the number one challenge, which is unsuccessful mentoring pairs. Dave, I know that you and I and the work we've done, we've encountered this kind of situation in our consultancy. And there are basically three reasons why pairs don't work out. One of them is sometimes the people who come to the table really aren't motivated to do it properly. Another one is some of the characteristics between the two partners may really not work very well. They may just not gel, as we say. And the third one, which is somebody leaves the company and the other person is still there. Any thoughts, either one of you, in terms of some thinking about that and how you kind of address those or along those lines?
First of all, Rennie, you know, one of the things there about people leaving the company, there are things that we can think about, I do believe, at the design stage of the program. And I know one of the programs we worked on, Rennie, we had to think at the design stage about some quick promotions of mentorees.
Yes.
Where their mentors might even be on the recruitment panel. So there are things like that, and also people leaving the company. Maybe sometime in the future, there's something in the wind regarding restructuring or, you know, I think at the design stage, when we work with the group of people from the organization, we really have to bottom out all of the sort of issues that are around the company at that particular time and sort of head things off at the pass, if you like, before they come along. But I do think it's good to have sort of contingency plans when people do leave the company. Let's say a mentor leaves. Is there a resource pool of mentors in the wings to take over? Or do we just leave the mentoree out of the program? All of these things, I think, need to be discussed because we are trying to protect the people that are in the program at that time.
Yeah, I think the two things you brought up, one is the promotional piece, the other one is when somebody leaves the company. When somebody leaves the company, depending at least on how long they've been together, you know, once or twice, it may not be as critical, but I find that if they've had a long-standing relationship, I always try to see if we can have a closure to the whole thing, because I think the mentee is the one who's left kind of hanging oftentimes, and it's important to bring closure. So what I try to do is I'll speak to somebody like Amy, whoever's in, you know, in HR or diversity or whatever, and say, is there an opportunity for us to perhaps have the mentee have a conversation with the mentee, even if it's over the phone, to basically wind down and say goodbye at some level. Now, you know, some people may think that's kind of, well, is that too touchy-feely, but I really think that for some people, some mentees, the feeling that all of a sudden it's gone and they haven't had a chance to say goodbye is a real problem for them. So if at all possible, we try to create that conversation. Sometimes it's not possible because the circumstance of the person leaving it don't warrant that kind of situation, but we try to do that. When it comes to promotions, I think our policy has been that, or our suggestion has been that, if they can still continue the relationship, as long as they're not the same direct supervisory line, we simply recommend they can do that on their own if they want to.
Right.
You know, it's another. What about, you know, the more challenging one is when pairs really don't work out, when they're there, but, you know, there's nothing, they just don't seem to make it happen. You know, and that's one that I get from a lot of program managers. And what I try to do is say, well, one thing I always try to say is when somebody comes in and says it's not working, is to not necessarily assume that's the case on the part of the program manager. Because somebody may be saying it's not working when in fact it could work. It's just that they haven't worked out some expectations perhaps, or perhaps they're not clear their communication. And sometimes the program manager can step in and correct that.
Yeah.
You know, so I always ask, well, why do you think it's not working? What tells you it's not working? What could you do, do you think, to salvage this or create this and so forth? And hopefully, if they've done a mentoring agreement, they've had an opportunity to negotiate some of these things anyway. But if it really doesn't work out, Bandit's case, where both parties really should be brought to the table and the things should be separated. You know, you just basically bring closure to that particular relationship.
Right. And I agree with you. And I it's interesting because I also feel like I'm sitting here thinking about, have we had situations like this? And I honestly, I'm sure we have, but I can't think of any specific instances at the moment. But I think a piece of what really helps us, I mean, certainly up front as we pair the mentor and the mentee and make those selections, I always say, when people ask how do you make the pairs, we always say, well, it's somewhere between an, you know, random and a science. But, you know, we really try to think about how, what's worked best for us is how they complement one another. So, for example, if we have a mentee or an associate buyer who is slightly introverted and a little more reticent, we will deliberately put them with the most sort of out there, extroverted, in-your-face senior buyer or mentor just to see the contrast and pull them out as much as possible. And that seems to work well. But I think that the other piece, you know, one of the issues that I had always seen with, and continue to in some ways see with, a mentoring relationship or potential issues is when it is based solely on chemistry. So if this thing is based on, you know, or dependent on you and me sitting down and having some sort of spark or chemistry that keeps us mutually engaged, that's a lot harder because making those matches and having the expectation that it works out, it happens certainly, but it's a lot higher risk.
Yeah.
That's why I've always loved the element of this program, which is about it being skills-based. Mm. Whereas it's always going to work better when there is chemistry. The fact that they have real content, that they have a contract that they have made up front as to what they want to be working on specifically, and then real content that they are meant to go over and cover when they meet, gives them something to sort of delve into and to become engaged around, in addition to simply chemistry and sort of an interest, a mutual interest in one another.
I think that's really, I think you've just eloquently presented a position that I, you know, that I tend to believe in strongly, which is that it's not always chemistry based. Chemistry can add, but if you don't have it, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a negative. It just means it's not there.
Right.
It's what you do with it. And for us, it's, as you know, it's always been have a focus area to the relationship. If you have something very concrete and very specific as you articulated, then you have a better chance of building something, whether it ends up being this long, strong emotional bond that you might have had with someone you have chemistry with or not, is not as critical as the fact that the relationship works.
People
get something out of it. They feel it's been worthwhile, and that's the value of it. And I think you're right. Presenting it so that it's really, as you say, partially science and partially random, but it has a process to it that is defined, even though it's a little touchy feely. Nevertheless, it's really important to go through that process to make a good match.
Right.
You know? The other thing too is that when it comes to successful mentoring pairs, one of the things that sometimes you face as program managers getting people who are in the program, who volunteer the program, but really aren't there for the right reasons. They're doing it for political reasons.
Mm.
And it's really important to weed people out like that, because if you don't, you really have a relationship that's already doomed from the very beginning.
Right. And I'm happy to say we haven't run into that too often either, although we have run into it, either on either side, by the way, either as the mentor who really doesn't want to be doing it but feels like it's going to help them get promoted, or the mentee who feels like either they don't need it or they're too disorganized to try to make the time or what have you.
Yeah.
And but I'm happy to say we haven't run into it often, because it has, I think, provided enough value that people are motivated to be there. But when we have the program manager, to your point, plays a very critical role there. And there are several attempts that the program manager makes first to approach both parties, but certainly the one who is more reticent for whatever reason, to say, listen, you know, you made a commitment to this. I realize you have X, Y, and Z going on, but this person really needs you, or you really need this and are expected to participate in this, and how can I help you to do, you know, live up to the commitments that you've made here? And hopefully that will rectify it. If it doesn't, at some point we may have to get their, whichever party's manager involved to say, because whereas this is not a specific sort of line item on anybody's performance evaluation or review, we do encourage managers, especially the managers of the line managers of the mentors, to mention it in their reviews so that they get credit for it, their mentoring relationship, because it is time consuming and it does take commitment, and it is something that they do above and beyond their normal, you know, role and responsibilities. And so likewise, if they don't do a good job of it, that can be mentioned as well.
Yeah.
On either side.
Yep.
And, you know, it really doesn't behoove the mentee to not take it seriously, because it is seen as an important part of their training, and a lack of commitment here could be illustrative of a lack of commitment elsewhere in their job. Predictive of it, at least.
Yeah, that's a good point. Which I think, you know, one of the things that I sometimes tell program managers is it is, because as you mentioned, the role of a program manager is so critical, is I have said that sometimes you have to go in and you actually have to dissolve these relationships. I mean, I've had situations, and Dave, you may be able to comment as well, but I had situations where, you know, mentors were really not all that motivated in some respects to the point you're bringing up. And what we basically did is we decided, as program managers, we decided that under those conditions, we were just going to terminate the relationship, pure and simple.
Yeah.
Because we felt that we weren't going to collude with the idea of, well, let's just go through the motions, but actually not engage the relationship.
Right.
Now, one of the challenges we had with that, and I don't know whether it's similar for you, but the challenge we had is when we spoke to the senior manager about having to do this, he wanted to immediately take some action against the mentors. And we told him we could not do that. It was not possible, because if we did that, then it would really destroy the program. You can't.
It does, because then you have a punitive element, and people, it doesn't.
Exactly.
It politicizes.
Exactly. So it took some talking, but we eventually got the person to agree. So luckily that worked out well. So that's one of those challenges that hopefully people won't face too often.
Right.
But we need to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation on common challenges faced by mentoring program managers.